So in this session, write about practical difficulties or struggles that you're facing in your Christian life. Maybe, you know, some roadblocks you're facing in your spiritual life. Write about questions like that only. We'll be having another session tonight, that is 7 to 8, where we hope to speak about, you know, some marriage-related questions, preparing for marriage and how to find God's will in marriage. So those questions, you can keep it for the evening session, that is 7 to 8. But for now, we can discuss some practical struggles and other problems that you face. Okay, suddenly we are flooded with questions. So time may not be enough to answer everybody's question, but we'll try and cover. There are some questions about some personal habits. Maybe I prefer to speak to you in person after this session. So over tea or sometime during the games time, we can, you know, talk to, you know, a habit, a bad habit that you are desperately trying to overcome. I see there are a couple of questions on that. So we can speak about that during the tea time or during, you know, before 7 o'clock sometime. Okay. Okay, there's a question about I'm not able to find enough time to read the Bible. I have a hunger, but and I know I need to read, but I'm not finding enough time to read the Bible. Yeah. I think this is a problem that many, it's a very common question. Wherever I have spoken to youth and done some question answers, this is a regular question. So I think it's a problem that all youth struggle with. See, when we are young, there are many things competing for our attention, and it's natural. When we are growing up, there are a lot of attractions, right? For boys, World Cup cricket final is a big draw, right? You can't miss it, right? And many other, for girls, maybe something else. So there are many things that are competing for our attention. There are many things that are, you know, that are trying to vie for our time. But I'd just say just a few simple things about reading the Bible. Make it a habit, whether you feel like or don't feel like, to read the Bible for as much time as you can. If your schedule is very busy and you just don't have time, read 10 minutes in the morning before you leave the home, preferably, or late at night. Reading in the morning is a good habit because it aligns your thinking and your heart and your mind to God and to God's word, and you can go out into your day to face all that lies ahead of you after having heard something from God's word. So many of the times we may not feel like reading because our feelings may be, you know, telling us or something, but make it a habit. See, we brush our teeth whether we want to or not, right? Every day we do that because we know it's a good habit. Same way, you know, whether you feel like or not, read the Bible. And if you do that regularly every day, you'll see over a period of 6 months, 1 year, you will see the fruit in your life. You will see what you have read keeping you from sin. You'll see yourself growing in the fear of God. You will see many things. And one thing I'll tell you from my life, I'll tell you, if you are regularly studying the Bible, God sees that and He will honor you in some way spiritually. I've been reading the Bible, I think from the time I was 17, I've been reading the Bible. I mean, even before that I was saved when I was 17. I've been reading the Bible, but today the Bible has become the most exciting book to me. I can give up anything else if, you know, to get a little more time with the Bible. And I have started giving up a lot of things in my life just so that I can find more time in the Bible, with the Bible. I am busy. I have a family. I have children. I have children's needs. I have home needs. I have church needs. I have help at the church and different things. So my time is also limited, but I try and, you know, give the Bible a time in my life. And I want to encourage all of you to do that. So whether you feel like or not, read it. And read it for as long as you have time. If you have only 10 minutes, read 10 minutes. If you have 20 minutes, read 20 minutes. If you have half an hour, read half an hour. And if you don't have time at all, maybe your commute is very long and very tiring, I'd encourage you, put something on your phone, load something on your phone and take it with you and listen to it as you travel. If you are using a cab to go to work or you use a suburban train, use that time to listen to something. You know, it's this is again something I have done. There have been some months of the year I get very busy at work. Work is like that. Some months it's much more heavy. So in those months I may not get enough time to sit and read the Bible. I still try to do that, but I listen to the Bible when I'm driving to work or driving back from work. And one thing I've seen, if you put together all of these times that you listen to the Word of God while you're driving or traveling, over a period, you'll suddenly realize that a huge amount of, your intake from the Bible has been really huge, really huge. For example, you listen, I'll give you an example. If you're listening to the Brazak's Bible series through the Bible, so that is 71-hour messages, right? So if you listen half an hour in the morning while you go to work and half an hour while coming back, you finished one message. And in 70 days, that's just roughly 2.5 months, you've covered the entire CD. Or at least in 3 months. So at the end of 3 months, you'll realize, hey, it was only half an hour a day, but it's been tremendous. You add up 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus. It's a big this thing. So if you don't have time to read, load a Bible study series on your Bible and listen to it. Verse by verse study, Brazax is a very edifying and wonderful study. And all of them are 10, 12-minute messages. So in 12 minutes, you can finish. And if you have more time, you can go on to another 12-minute message. But otherwise, you can stop 12 minutes. Okay. There's a question about, you know, I shared in one of the sessions about giving up all our desires. So there's a question about, is it wrong to have a secular desire? Not a sinful desire, but a secular desire. Is it okay to have an ambition? There is nothing wrong in having a secular desire. Like I said, as long as it is not competing with Jesus for your affection. If you want to get something done in 6 months or 1 year, you want to study for a course or you want to, get trained in something, that's a good ambition to have. If it helps your work, if it helps you in your job, you can have any of those ambitions are fine. As long as it's not an ambition that is not taking you away from Jesus and not taking you away from loving Jesus more wholeheartedly. So I want to just show you that difference once again. So I want to love Jesus, but there is another love in my life that is coming up slowly, slowly, a secret love. And I can see that that is pouring cold water on my love for Jesus. My love for Jesus is coming down. The more and more this is coming up, then that means that is competing with Jesus, my devotion to Jesus. Such an ambition you must definitely be careful about, because like we spoke, that will take you down a path of wrong choices and take you to an eternity that you will have regrets about. But something else, your devotion to Jesus is growing, but you have some other secular ambition as well. You know, I want to I want to get this certification by next March. I want to scale up my skills at work so that I'm eligible to apply for that team. Or things like that. All of those are perfectly all right decisions, ambitions, and nothing wrong in having any of them. So what you have to really check is it competing with Jesus, and is it reducing my love for Jesus? Definitely a desire to be somebody great in the world will definitely affect your devotion to Jesus. So like I said, you know, I want Jesus, but I also want to be the best in my profession is something that will take you away from Jesus. Work hard, do well in your profession, be faithful to what God has committed, but don't let that become an overriding thing that you want to be the best in the city or, you know, best in your area or something like that. No, that'll definitely take you away. There's a question about what is the best age to be saved and be baptized in water and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no right age for any of these things to happen in your life. I would say the earliest at all three can happen in your life, it's the best. It's best to be saved as early in your life as possible. I think, you know, a boy or a girl who's growing up in a family which is in the church, I think definitely by the age of 11 or 12, the person can have a clear conviction of sin and surrender his life to Jesus. I know of, you know, godly missionaries and their children who have given their lives to Jesus at a very young age. Just one or two examples. Corrie Ten Boom, I think most of you girls would have heard of her. She gave her life to Jesus when she was 5, and she had a very godly father who led her to Jesus. So 5 years, but a conviction of sin had come and she gave her life. Jim Elliot, I think you've heard of him. He gave his life to Jesus when he was 6. So these are some stories which have challenged me. I say, Lord, you know, it's quite possible for children, especially children growing up in the church, to give their lives early. So there is no right age, but you must pray that it'll happen as soon as possible. And when to be baptized, I think as soon as you're saved and you have a clear assurance of your salvation, that your sins are forgiven and you belong to that God has become your father now, as soon as you have that assurance, you must speak to your elders and say, brother, I want to take baptism. Don't delay it. A lot of people, this is a mistake. I've seen many young people, they're born again, they have an assurance, they're saved, but they wait till they come to some level of perfection in their Christian life to take water baptism. Don't wait for that perfection. We'll never come to perfection. Perfection comes over a lifetime. So we should not wait. If you know you are saved, you have full assurance of salvation in your heart, then take water baptism immediately. What's the right age or time to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? From the day you are born again. From the day you are born again, you must pray God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be baptized in water to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read that in Acts. There are cases where they're described in Acts where believers were saved. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they took water baptism. So if you God definitely wants to give us the power of the Holy Spirit, and as soon as we are saved, we can start praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's a question about sharing with friends at work. The person is saying the friends are not really the best bunch of people to hang out with, but because I hang out with them, we've had conversations about God with them, and is it wrong to have friends like that or continue to be friends with them? There's nothing wrong in having friends or hanging out with friends at work. I think most of us who work, we are part of a team or we are part of a department, and you know, we may have tea together or go out for lunch together sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. What you have to be careful is when you go out for a meal or for tea or something, you have to gauge the conversation and the direction it is going. If the conversation is all about movies and worldly talk and, you know, stuff like that, you know, by sitting in such a conversation, such a group for half an hour, you're likely to, you know, be bored or even get corrupted. So if the conversation is, if that bunch of friends are like that, I'd say, you know, maybe sit with another group, or if you get a chance to introduce some topic about God, you and your friends are open to do that. And so first thing I'd say is sit with people who are not really talking completely worldly stuff. It'll corrupt us, you know. So avoid such company. If it is somewhat okay people, they are not talking outrightly worldly things, but harmless worldly things, then maybe you can be a part of that group. But as long as you are getting some chances to talk to them about God, or maybe one or two ask you about your faith and, or something, and you get a chance to share. But finally, you must over a period gauge whether those set of friends are being a good influence on your life or a bad influence on your life. How do we do that? Okay, for example, now we are in October. You see how you were in January of this year, in 2017 January, how was I? And in October 2017, how am I? I've been with these friends. Can I say I've grown in the Lord, or can I say these friends have pulled me down? If your friends have pulled you down, I think you should leave that group, because they are being a bigger influence on you than you are on them. But if you've had some conversations about God with them and you've been able to talk to them about God, and you've grown from January 2017 till now, you feel you've grown, your devotion to Jesus has grown, then it's fine. You can be friends with them, because they are not an influence on you. You know, your love for Jesus and is strong enough that they are not an influence on you. Okay, there are a couple of questions about trying to understand whether it is God who has really spoken to you, or is it just my subconscious speaking to me, you know, about being able to have a meaningful two-way conversation with God. That means being able to hear God also, not just, you know, talking to God. So about knowing whether it's really God who spoke to me or not, I'd say it's actually a little difficult to make out whether it's especially when you're young, in your teenage years, and maybe, okay, this is a young person, 16 years, so in your late teens, it's sometimes difficult to make out whether something you feel inside is your own creation, or is something God has spoken to you. What I'd say is, if it is something that you've been praying about for some time, something that you've been seriously seeking God about to give you an answer, then God will in some way give you an answer. God will speak to you from scripture, or God will speak to you through a Sunday message when you come to church, or God may speak to you through a brother or sister whom you spoke to in church. In some way, God will make his answer clear to you. And when God gives us a direction, when God gives us an answer, we will see things happening in that direction in the coming days and weeks. When, for example, you feel in your heart that, I think I should do this. And God, you know, it starts with a small feeling, let's say, in your heart, but maybe in the Sunday message, God reconfirms that. And then you spoke to somebody on phone or you met somebody in the church and had a conversation. That also gets reconfirmed. For no reason, that person brings up this topic and says something to you and you feel, hey, this is in line with what I'm already feeling in my heart. So if there's a subsequent confirmation, then it's probably God trying to tell you that that's the direction He wants you to go about what we've been praying for. If it is a very important decision and you're not sure whether it's God or just your conscience, I'd say speak to an elder brother. If you are thinking about marriage or you are thinking about relocating to Delhi or something like that, major decision, and that's not the time you should go by a voice inside, which you are not sure, is it really God? Is it my own thinking? That's a time you should speak to men who are in touch with God. The minute you share your problems, because they know God for so many more years, they know, hey, this is not from God, this cannot be from God. Or they'll have a sense, yes, I think this is from God, and they'll be able to guide you. Yeah, having a two-way conversation with God, is good, is something that we must develop over a period of time. I'd say something like this. In the early years, in our teenage and early 20s, we are mostly receiving from God, and means we are speaking to God. We are speaking more to God, and we are able to hear less from God. But there are a few things you can do. For example, give thanks. Keep on giving thanks. Keep on praising God. Keep on worshiping God. While you travel, while you walk, do things like this, and slowly you'll be able to hear more clearly whenever God speaks to you. You cultivate that habit of, not just when you're reading the Bible or praying in your quiet time, but through the day, cultivate that habit of giving thanks to God, praising Him for small things He's done for you, and worshiping Him. Slowly, you'll see that, you're able to hear more of what God is speaking to you. Okay, there's a question written by a person from a Hindu background, I think. The question is, if I'm the only child of my unconverted heathen parents, and suppose something happens to my parents, if I am asked to do some rituals about their death ceremony, things like that, how will I handle it as a believer? If you're the only child, it's a slightly difficult situation. If there are other siblings in your family, it's easier. You can ask one of the other siblings to do the rituals or the rites that religion may ask to be done. But if you are the only child, and if your parents are already aged, I'd encourage you, maybe speak to the elders and get some advice from them. I don't know which religion, I'm assuming Hindu religion, but if there is some option of your cousin or somebody else in the family, means your uncle's son, or somebody else doing that same ritual, maybe get that person to do it so that you don't have to do that ritual yourself. If that possibility is there. And so this person who's asked this question, I'd encourage you, have a chat with one of your elders and ask this question to them, what you can do. But maybe you can consider this option, whether somebody else in the family can do those rituals instead of you. It's definitely, we should avoid doing it, because I will not encourage a believer doing any of those pagan things, because it's, in complete wrong direction what we believe and what we have stood for, right? And you've come out of that religion to stand for Jesus. Is it wrong to share my problems about college or workplace to my sin? No, there's nothing wrong in sharing any of your problems with a friend. If it's a genuine problem and it's bothering you, you can share that with your friend. If your friend is a helpful person, if your friend is somebody who can give you, you know, there are some friends, they are good sounding boards. They just hear you out, and sometimes they give you some good advice. If your friend or friends are somebody like that, there's nothing wrong. You can share your problems with them. But if your friend is a gossip who can take what you tell to that friend to a lot of people, then avoid telling that person. Or if you have a critical attitude, or you have a complaint about your workplace or your college, then don't talk to a friend about it, because that complaining attitude is something God doesn't like, and you will likely pass that complaining attitude to that friend also, and then you may gossip about it together and things like that. So if you just want to unburden yourself and without having a complaint or anything, you can share with a friend who is a good friend, who will listen to it and maybe help you or guide you or give you some advice. There's a question from a person who's from a Christian family and baptized in water. It's a question about, you know, an up and down life. When I come to church and I listen to messages and I get stirred up in my heart, things go well, then again I fall and I repent and come back. I'm not steady and I'm not able to feel God's presence all the time in my life. What I want to say to encourage you is, again, this is something very common to, late teens, early 20s. I can see it from the age. It's a common problem at this age. Don't let it discourage you. Keep at it, and things will improve. Find good fellowship. Talk to friends who can encourage you. Talk to friends who can help you. And see, if you are the kind of person who only comes on Sundays, hears a message, and through the week you have no contact with other people in church, then this is natural. I mean, this is bound to happen, because your interest is only hearing a Sunday message, but through the week you don't have an interest to really, keep yourself in the Lord. But if it is a person who is coming regularly and attending weekly meetings and really has a desire for growing in the Lord, then I'd say one of the best things you can do is through the week get fellowship with other wholehearted youth. If you're a boy, with other boys. If you're a girl, with other girls. One of the best, if you are going through, okay, so there are times that we feel nice and things are going well in our Christian life, but there are times that you go down, right? So when the times that you go down, when you are kind of at a low, the one thing you shouldn't do is be lonely. And the one thing you just shouldn't be lonely at that time. Call up a friend, or go and visit a friend, or invite a friend over and talk with him or her. And think of somebody who you know is, wholehearted for God. Think of somebody who know things are going well in his or her Christian life. And ring a friend like that, or visit a friend like that, or call a friend over like that. and you'll find that you'll come out of this low portion very quickly. You know, just a 5-minute conversation with somebody who really loves the Lord can bring you from here to here very quickly. So, yeah, I think late teens and early 20s, I think our graph is, it's common. Our graph is something like this: steep highs, steep lows, steep highs, steep lows. But if you keep following Jesus and you keep coming regularly and you are in active fellowship with others through the week, then your graph will become not so steep. You see smaller ups and smaller, you know, the downs especially will be smaller. The ups would be still high, but the downs won't be like this, but it'll be smaller downs. And then over a period, it'll be even smaller downs. Your downs will be very less. So by the time you come to 27, 28, you know, or 30 or 35, there'll be very few downs. Okay, it's a question about when I'm in church, I struggle with a lot of thoughts when I'm listening to the messages. Thoughts about my office and family and things like that keep coming to my mind. How do I overcome? I think it's a good habit on Saturday night or Sunday morning to spend a little time in prayer, asking God to prepare your heart to receive God's word when you come to church. A lot of people just walk into church. They have no spiritual preparation. Church is at 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock, they wake up, have a bath, get into their transport. No preparation at all. They just land up in church. If you come like that, then you've come with an unprepared heart or a heart that is, you know, not fully ready to, you know, take in all that what God wants to speak to you. So I think it's a good habit on Saturday night or Sunday morning, spend a little time with God and ask God, Lord, prepare my heart to receive your word. There's something very important that you want to speak to me today through church. And I pray you will touch my heart and make it like the good ground on which your seed can fall and bear fruit for you. So prepare your heart and come. And I think it'll help you from a lot of distractions while you're sitting in church. And if there's something that's particularly bothering you, maybe some big problem in the office or some big problem in the family, then it's natural to think about it while you're sitting in church. But try and push it out while you're listening to God's word. Try and, with your will, try and push it out so that it's not again and again coming back. And if it's a serious problem, maybe after church, speak to an elder brother or speak to an older auntie, some of your girls, and share your problem with them and get some help. But this is something you can definitely overcome. See, one more thing I'll say on this question. See, when we come to a church to hear a message in any meeting of the church, whether it's a weekly meeting or a Sunday meeting, we must come with a hunger. We should not come passive or neutral. We must come with a hunger. The most important person in this universe, that's God, has a very important message for me today. And I must be prepared and hungering to receive that. I must come to church with that attitude, that Lord, you have something special to speak to me today, and give me ears to hear what you're speaking. Give me a heart to take in all that you are speaking. Then you're less likely to be distracted. Because the reason you're coming to church is clear. I have a hunger, I have a thirst, and I want to hear God. So such a person will be less likely to be distracted when we are listening. This is an interesting question. I shared about scraping into heaven. If we do that, would we feel sad in heaven? What do you think? Definitely. See, what I mean by, I think you understood me when I said scraping into heaven. Scraping into heaven is a person who's just born again. Just born again means he's just born again, but he really doesn't have much desire to grow in the Lord and come up to a higher and higher and higher Christian life. Such a person may come to heaven, but once you enter heaven, your regrets will start. You will see so many people in heaven who are so wholehearted for God, so many people who love Jesus passionately, for whom Jesus was everything. And you will start thinking, Lord, what a fool I was to be so shallow in my Christian life while I was on earth and just somehow scrape into heaven. We'll have a lot of regrets in heaven if we just scrape into heaven. And these people who want to just scrape into heaven are just okay just scraping into heaven are quite likely to have a fall or fall away and not make it to heaven at all. So if we if our goal is just somehow to reach heaven, there's a good chance you may not reach there because some other desire will take you away from God before you die. So to give you an illustration, so suppose this is the borderline. Your desire should not be, okay, this side is not saved, this side is saved. Saved and growing and growing and growing and coming to a maturity in Jesus. So if your desire is to be just this side and to be happy being this side, you're in a very dangerous area. You know, right? If you're close to the Pakistan border, very close, you are likely to be shot from the other side. You should not be near the border. You should be as far inside safe territory so that you are not, So definitely we'll have a lot of regrets in heaven if we just scrape into heaven. And whoever's written this question, I want to encourage you, seek God wholeheartedly that you don't just scrape into heaven, but you are able to enter heaven with joy, knowing that you have really followed Jesus wholeheartedly while you were on earth. Okay, this is a question from a grown-up person, I think one of the boys. I'm still living with my parents, but I'm earning well and I'm supporting myself. Is it necessary for me to be submissive to my parents? I think it's written by a boy. Yeah, once you're earning and you're on your own and you are not depending on your parents to support you, then you don't have to be really submissive to your parents. But if you have godly parents, always consider what they are saying and be willing to accommodate what they are saying in your life. If you have parents who are coming to the church, definitely what they share with you will be something to protect you. So at this age, when we are not sure of certain things, whether some things are good for us, not good for us, if your parents are in the church or if they are good believers, it's good to hear them out and consider what they say. Like I shared earlier, parents are always, God has given us parents to protect us and to keep us from a crash. So if you're a boy, in every small thing you don't have to really be submissive to your parents, but since very soon you'll get married and move out of home, but if you're living with parents who are godly, consider their advice and opinion on different matters. But help your parents if there are financial needs at home and you are earning. Definitely help your retired parents or parents if you feel that they are in need. If they are not in need, that's fine. If they are working and they have enough for themselves, it's fine. But if there are needs at home, help. Okay, there's a question about dating. I will leave this to the evening session, whether it's wrong or right to date a person. We'll cover this question in the evening session. Okay, a person has asked two questions. One is being how to be free from impurity of eyes, especially at public places. Yeah. Yeah, being tempted with the eyes is something that all boys and men struggle with, especially when you are out in public places and you know there's nobody watching you. You know there's nobody from the church around you who's seeing you. Whether we sin or not depends a lot on how much we fear God. If you really fear God, you will have a desire in your heart. Lord, I'm tempted strongly, but I don't want to sin because I know sin hurts you. And I know if I give in to my eyes and watch some pretty girl, then I'm going to sin and I'm going to hurt you. So that fear of God should hold us back using our eyes in a wrong way and looking at others when we are in a public place. See, one thing for boys, many of you boys, it's a very powerful temptation and it takes many years for you to overcome this temptation with your eyes to look elsewhere. This is what I'd say, you know, the more and more you purify your heart, the more and more your desires will become pure and more your eyes will become pure. So if you want to reach the eyes, you have to start with the heart. The more you read God's word, the more you fill your life with the things of God, the more you allow godly things to permeate your brain and your heart, slowly, slowly your heart will become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. That will make your thoughts cleaner and cleaner and your desires cleaner and cleaner. And one day it'll result in your eyes being purer and purer. It's a ongoing process. Especially teenage and early 20s, late 20s also, it takes time. But work on purifying your heart. That will result in purifying your desires and motives. And finally, it will help you purify your eyes. And a second question about in the workplace, when I work hard and the credit is given to somebody else, what should I do? Should I speak up or not? Yeah, this happens nowadays all the time, right? I think all of you who are working can say that, right? There are a lot of colleagues who are waiting to take the credit, even though they've not done much. We know we've done most of it, but they're just waiting to take the credit. So there's nothing wrong in telling your boss if you did it. Suppose the boss doesn't know that it was you who put in the long hours and you did most of the work and other colleagues did less. There's nothing wrong in telling the boss that, as long as you're not telling him to, you know, butter him up or get a promotion or something like that. If with pure motives you tell the boss, that you did something well, there's nothing wrong with that. You can speak up. If no credit is passed to you and somebody else takes the credit, you can speak up and put in a word that, yes, I did work hard at it. But not with a complaint. If you have a complaint, I am not recognized, I've done so much, but nobody recognized me. That's a complaint. That way we should never speak up. But in a good way, if we can let the team know or let boss know that I worked I was part of this and I did work a lot. It's good. There's nothing wrong in speaking up. Okay, this is an interesting question. Whether it is better to use a hard copy Bible or a Bible on your mobile, which is better? What are the advantages and disadvantages? I think all of you are living in a digital age, and you know your natural preference may be to use a mobile Bible on your phone. But you know, the same person also mentions that when I'm using a mobile Bible, there are temptations to, suppose during the message, a WhatsApp message comes, there's a temptation to see what that message is, right? You're listening to a message, you're reading God's word on your Bible, but there are distractions as well. So, I personally feel that a hard copy Bible is better because in the hard copy Bible, when God speaks a verse to you, if you have read it from a hard copy Bible, there's a good chance that you'll remember the reference of that verse, or at least you'll remember which book it is from. Let's say through the message, a particular verse is shared and you turn into your Bible to that particular page and you read that verse. And let's say you underline it or highlight it. 1 week later or 2 weeks later, if you are asked what is the reference of that verse, I think you will at least be able to say, I don't remember the exact reference, but I know it's in Proverbs. And if you've underlined it or highlighted it, you can go to that page and reread it, because you have a little sense of where that verse came. For example, you can see my Bible. I've got on this page 3 underlined verses. So I know that it was somewhere on the left side and somewhere towards the middle. And if I've highlighted it or underlined it, it's easier for me to find that verse again. But if I have looked at it on a mobile Bible, there's very less chance that you may remember the reference and where it was. So, I feel it's a good habit to study a physical Bible, and you will see the fruits of that later. When you become older, you will see the fruits of that. I use a mobile Bible, but I use it mainly to look up verses. Suppose I've forgotten a reference. I know it's in Hebrews, but I'm not able to, you know, find out. I can do a search and find the verse. So using a, you know, there's nothing wrong with using a mobile Bible, but it's always better to use a physical Bible. Over the years, verses, get into our mind and into our heart more when we are using a mobile Bible, when we're using a physical Bible. We'll try and close soon since we are running out of time. There's just few more questions. As I said, there are a couple of questions on some bad habits. We can meet over tea and speak. So those who put that question can come to me either now or just before the evening session, that is after your game, 6:30 to 7. That time we can meet and discuss that. Okay, there's a question about a person's manager at work. He gets involved in my work to too much detail. It's quite frustrating and annoys me when I feel that he's not treating me as a responsible worker. Yeah, one thing I'd say is that you must respect your boss. whether your boss is reasonable, not reasonable, very demanding, not demanding, whatever type of boss you have, you must respect him and you must never speak evil of him, because a boss is God-placed authority over your life. You may not agree with him, you may not have respect for his principles, he may be a Hindu man or something, you may not respect him, but respect his position. He is your boss and respect him. If he asks you to do something against God's word, you don't have to do it. Because we have to obey God who is above our boss. In this situation, the question that's asked is, I would say pray for your boss. Ask God for grace, not to be annoyed with him. Some people's work style is like that. I've had managers who micromanage. Every small detail, even what I'm very well capable of doing, they want to manage and they want to see how I'm doing it. And so I feel we don't have to be upset about it. Just take it that he's that kind of person. He likes to do it that way. Let him do it that way. But you know, you pray and ask God for grace not to feel annoyed by what he is doing. One more thing I'll tell you. See, all bosses, we don't have to get frustrated with a boss. I've noticed bosses change. You don't have the same boss all through your life. In a few months or a few years, your boss will change. He may move to another position or you may move to another company. So these are temporary things. Maybe for some months you may have to put up with it. Pray God will give you grace to take it and respect him, even though he is behaving like that. We have three more questions. We'll try and finish quickly. Okay, it's a question from a young person. Somebody in their teens, I think. If a friend of mine wants to know about God, what are the first few ways in which I can share about God and who God really is? Is it okay to tell somebody about God even if we haven't been a good example to that person? I think it's always good, once you are really born again, to have a desire to share Jesus with your friends. It's a good desire to have. We must always have a desire to share the Lord with our friends. We must look for opportunities to share, and we must look for openings to share. For example, you know, when you have your lunch, it's a good habit to just, you know, to bow your head for a minute and pray, give thanks for your food and start. I think most Christians do that, right? In homes, we definitely do that, but in office also do that. I do that in my cafeteria, even though there are so many other, you know, I don't have any believer friends in my company. But I do that, and sometimes somebody has asked me a question, hey, why do you pray before lunch every day? So that gives me an opening to talk to him. See, I recognize that this food has come from God and it's not from anybody else. I'm just thanking God for giving me this meal. It's come from him. So that helps me to start a conversation with him about God or share something about God. So we should look for such opportunities. If you're already a believer and you're already a strong Christian, you can share your convictions with that friend. But if you're not really confident of sharing the gospel well, then give that friend a book or invite that friend, if that friend can come to church sometime, or come for a, if not Sunday, come for some other special meeting of the church. Invite that friend. So if you're confident and you can share and you're already a Christian, share your convictions. Definitely something will speak to that friend. If you're not so sure how to share, what to share, maybe give your friend a book or a tract which will introduce that person to God. Like Brother Zach's a real truth or amazing facts or something like that. And, you know, you can help that friend to get to know at least the first few things about God. Yeah, this is a similar question about how to convince friends about the truths of the Bible, how to communicate these things to them. Do the best you can. Do the best you can to explain what you have learned in the church to that friend. If the friend is showing more interest, then give the friend a CD or a DVD about, you know, maybe basic Christian teaching or something like that, where, you know, things are mentioned in a simple way. What is sin? What is, you know, where things have been put in a very, very simple way. If the friend is showing interest, share a CD or a book. But when you communicate, do the best you can and ask God to help you and ask God to speak to that person. It's not the language we put in. It's the Spirit of God speaking through us to that person. Our English or language may be broken, but the Spirit in us will speak to that person's spirit. So if anybody is showing interest, please share the gospel with them. One last question on overcoming fear. It's a general question, so I don't know what type of fear the person is referring to, but it's an older, one of the older youth. It may be fear of the future. It may be fear of what's going to happen. Maybe you are facing a little bit of uncertainty right now in your life. How to overcome fear is, what's the opposite of fear? Faith, courage, any others? What's the opposite of fear? Trust, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'd say the best way to overcome fear is to read the Bible and come to a greater trust in God. When I was in my 20s and teens and 20s, I would turn to the Word of God whenever I had a troubling situation, and something from the Bible would speak to me and encourage me. God would strengthen my heart in some way through the Bible. I had a fear right in front of me because of a situation that's coming up or some uncertainty that's already there. But in that situation, what do I do? My heart is fearful already. I don't know how it's going to work out. But reading the Bible has helped me. God's word has always brought some comfort into my heart in that situation and pacified my fear. And you know, that's one thing I really love about the Bible. The Holy Spirit reassures us when we are weak, when we are fainting, when we are fearful. The Holy Spirit reassures us. Even if God has not spoken something specifically to you that day from the Word, when you read the Bible and you go, there's a reassurance in your heart. God will take care. I don't know how things will work out, but I have an assurance in my heart. God will take care of this problem. So I encourage you to read the Bible and make that a habit, and it will help you overcome fear. One last thing I'll say and we'll close about overcoming fear is, we are living in an increasingly more insecure world and a more dangerous world. Now, you know, 15 years back, we used to hear of a bomb blast once in 3 years. But now we hear every third day or every once a week, right? And we are living in a very evil, insecure, difficult world. And fear is bound to come. Fear is fear of some sort, or suddenly you may lose your job, or suddenly you get an email that your team is going to be downsized. You may be affected, things like that. So fear is fears can come, but ultimately we must find our security in God. God is the only one who can make us secure in insecure situations and uncertain situations. And that's what God really wants to do in each one of our lives. Make our lives secure in Him so that the storms of life don't, you know, swing us to and fro. Read the Bible, come to church regularly and fellowship, and allow God to build a greater trust in your life, in Him, a confidence in Him and in His Word. And that'll help us when we go through fearful times. And if you have fear, talk to a friend who you feel can help you. Talk to somebody in the church, maybe your age or slightly older to you, who will be able to help you come out of that fear, and you will get help.